Oh, hi everyone. Thanks so much for letting me come chat to you. I'm really excited to talk to you today. I said to my daughter, I don't think I had this like strong beginning. And she said, well, my suggestion, Mom, is that you introduce yourself and share a little bit about who you are. So I thought that was really cool. So that's what I'm going to do. Okay. So I'm Jody. For those of you who don't know me, I think just about everybody does. And I've got three kids and a stunning husband. And as Lisa said, I'm a clinical psychologist. And the truth is, why does someone become a clinical psychologist? Guess. Little bit cuckoos, right, okay. So at the end of the day, that is kind of true. You know, I love people with emotional problems. I mean, I love them. Like, I have a passion. They are some of my favorite people. And I also think they're some of the most courageous people in the world. No, it's serious. And Irene shared a little bit about herself when she did that amazing lesson last time about how she had that mild kind of depression. You could kind of call it dysthymia, gets down and can't get out of it. Sad to say, I didn't have a mild kind of depression. From about the age of 13, I had a very major kind of depression. And I did try and commit suicide 3 times. And even as a disciple, I was once suicidal. I think one of the leaders once referred to me as a basket case. Yeah, so I was a little bit cuckoos. Okay, so if you feel like you are a little bit cuckoos, or you've been having a hard time, or you're depressed, you're in good company, okay? I also think, though, the reason they choose psychologists is they look to see, do you know pain? Because if you don't know pain, how are you going to understand what somebody else is going through? How are you going to understand how they feel? And then I also think they look and they see, but can you get yourself out of it? So, and I think that's a really important thing. We have to be able to get ourselves out of it. I mean, nobody wants to live in that kind of pain forever. And I know I've had a lot of people come to me who are Christians, disciples, come to me and say, you know what, I pretty much was a normal mess, and now I'm a Christian mess. And how is this like working out yet? You know, like, I'm supposed to come to the kingdom of light, and I'm supposed to, hallelujah, and I just lay me down. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can do it now. You know what I mean? Okay. So that's really what I want to address now. This, I think it's kind of cheeky to think that you can help everyone with all their deep pain in sort of 25 minutes. You know what I'm saying? But what I do think is that we can give it a start or a second start, because Irene gave an awesome start, and I think that is a fundamental, is to not give into self-pity, to sort of trust God. But there are a whole lot of things that really help people. So if any of you feel like, you know what, I've been struggling with anxiety since forever, or I've been struggling with addiction since forever, or depression, I did speak to Irene, and we did speak about doing a number of modules that kind of look at what are the different things, because there are a number of things that you need to address if you're feeling depressed or you're having emotional problems. Now, some of you are sitting here and thinking, well, you know what, maybe I should have stayed at home because I'm happy all the time, you know, so what am I doing here? Okay. So those people, at the end of the day, I personally, this is my personal conviction, think psychology and the concept of psychology, and definitely the Bible, helps everybody. And you can always grow further, and you can self-actualize, and so this does apply to you. You just apply it to, you know, I forgot the cake at the bake sale, or whatever traumatizes your life. And the rest of us can apply it to sometimes some pretty tough stuff we've been through. I mean, a lot of people have been through abortions, husbands abandoning them, rapes, you know, molestations, families that's abandoned them, people that they love dying, their children, some really, really tough stuff. You know, I was talking to someone at work today. I work at Life Care. She's got what we call aphasia, which is you have a stroke and you cannot communicate anymore. So you cannot speak, you cannot gesture. Sometimes you cannot understand what other people are saying to you. So I had to do therapy with her, now you can imagine. So now I'm sitting there and I just said to her, okay, this hand means you're worried. This hand means you're angry. And then she sort of tries to flick, you know. This hand means you feel like it's hopeless. This hand means, and she was just like, I feel like it's hopeless. she pretty much indicated, what if I never talk again? Imagine that. Imagine being locked inside of yourself, unable to express what you feel, talk about what you're going through. You know, we go through hard stuff as human beings. I mean, every day it just rips me in my gut. Some of the things we go through, they are tough. They are really hard and scary and painful. And so if any of you feel like these are sort of the modules, I speak with Irene about how we're going to do it or what we're going to do it, but these are kind of the areas that generally there's a number of areas you need to look at to shift out of depression. Okay, so please just put that in a perspective, okay, that I am not saying I'm coming to give you the magic pill in 20 minutes. Wish I was. Okay, so, all right. So, you know, all of us know this. From birth, actually, a lot of research is saying from in the womb, we are hearing messages about who we are, how others feel and think about us, and how the world operates. We can do what's called the birth hypnosis where, I mean, you are receiving your mother's hormones, so you know how she feels. You know how she feels about having you. You know how your dad feels about it. You know if they're going through a difficult time or if they've had a major incident while you're in the tummy. So from that very beginning, we are beginning to, the world is impinging on us. Who are you? How do you think? What do you feel? What is the world about? How is it going to treat you? And we have the expectations and desires and feelings of our parents pressed on us. We have a lot of input growing up from my parents. I had three major pieces of input. I can tell you what my parents taught me. Okay, this was our like repeat. If the human mind can conceive it and believe it, it will achieve it. If anybody stops you, call the police. Those were our two. The third one I caught was like, yeah, you're the boss. Okay, that was pretty, yeah. So I took four sessions to study Jesus as Lord. I was like, really, really? Okay. Anyway, okay. But those were the three things we learned. Okay. So then we go to school and we get input from our friends, our girlfriends, the teachers. We get input from the guys around us. But there's also cultural expectations and norms. We get input from, you know, what do people think about women? What do people think about women's roles? What do people think about women with blonde hair? What do people think about small women? You know, I mean, we get this input on us. And basically, for some of us, that's great input. I mean, we're popular, school's easy, mom thinks the sun shines out of you, it's groovy, you know? But for the vast majority of us, there's a lot of painful stuff that comes with that. You know, there's a lot of, sometimes there's insults, sometimes there's abuse, sometimes there's not acceptance, sometimes you feel like nobody likes me, I'm not popular. I know I was always nice, you know, like my brothers and my sisters, they were brilliant, you know, they won the speech day and they won this and they were, my sister was a model and, you know, my brothers were in first team rugby and I was nice, you know. So that, yeah, I'm nice. Did you know that I'm nice? Okay. But not very useful, if you know what I'm saying. Not very effective. Okay. So at the end of the day, what happens is all these experiences that we go through tell us who we are. Is that Satan actually uses those to develop lies. That is the bottom line. He uses those negative experiences to develop lies. And what Viktor Frankl is a famous psychiatrist who was in the Nazi German camps. And what he discovered, he said, at the end of the day, it is not what happens to you. So now listen to that. It is not what happens to you. It is not what you have been through. It is what you think about what has happened to you. And there's this guy, I mean, he's in the Nazi camp. His family is ripped away from him. He doesn't know where they are. He's naked. He's starving. They've taken the gold out of his teeth. They've shaved his hair. They've taken off his ring. He's watching people die around him. And he said, my goal is to get out of here and teach what I've learned here to the world. And he said, what I've learned here is what you think is what starts happening to you. He said he could predict who's going into the gas chamber. He said, because they gave up. It's not like they said, okay, you can take me. He said he could watch them. As they gave up, they'd be sent to the gas chamber. It's not what happens. So there's a cycle. It's not what happens to you, it's what you think. But what happens is something happens to us, we think a lie, and then we make more of that thing happen to us. Does it make sense? So at the end of the day, if you look in John 8, verse 44, it says, you belong to the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Now, a lot of us think, yeah, look at them, hey, those murderers. You know how often every single one of us is doing this all the time? We are believing Satan's lies. It seems like the truth. It seems, it feels so real. It's in our experience. And the truth that Christ is telling us, we reject. And I've had this in therapy. I say to people, but you are wonderful. Like, no, I'm not. I know I'm terrible. I know I am. Because it feels so real. They've had so many experiences of it. Does it make sense? Okay, and then Jesus answered, okay, this is not related, John 14, verse 6, this is a different verse, okay? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I've constructed this my own way. Please don't think I'm a theologist. I'll tell you, I'll show you this now. See, I've made a kingdom of lies, and the king is Satan. And a kingdom of the truth, and the king is Jesus. Okay. So, then when Christ came, this is what he said in Luke 4, verse 18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And if you go to the original verse in Isaiah 61, verse 1, it also says, changing us from ashes into roses. Can you imagine how beautiful that is? This is that's the new message version. A message of joy instead of news of doom. A praising heart instead of a languid spirit. A new city out of wreckage. Isn't that amazing? Oh, that is amazing. I'm sorry. I think that's so divine. Okay. So, which way am I going? Is that the wrong way? No, it's the right way. That's the wrong way. Did we do that? Okay. So, there's the two. Now, look at this and look at depression. When you are depressed or struggling emotionally, do you feel poor? Do you feel like a prisoner? You feel just trapped by just your misery and just your struggle? Do you feel oppressed? The whole world is just pressing down on you. Everything is just too much. Do you feel blind? Do you feel like there's just ashes, like you're just eating up nothing? And if you look at what the kingdom of truth is, he says, I came to give you good news, freedom, release, recovery of sight. Okay, but you know what? Like a lot of you, you sort of think, yeah, okay, well, now I'm just a bad Christian as well. Thanks. Fabulous. So before I was just miserable, now I'm miserable and a bad Christian. Okay, great, thanks. Well, that's fantastic. Thanks, Jones. Anything else? Okay, so then it says that do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look at that. What transforms you? The renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay, so if you look back there, that is the pattern of the world. Do you know that? That is the pattern to be poor, oppressed, all those things. And this is what happens as you get transformed, metamorpho. Okay. So, and here it says again, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in what? The attitude of your minds. So in a lot of ways, Christianity begins in our heads, not in our behavior. You know, that's where it starts. So that was me looking at point one, which was, what are you hearing? Okay, so what are you taking in? And sometimes the first start is to say, what are you hearing? You know, maybe you've never thought about it. Some of you have totally thought about it. You've thought about it too much and you just need to go have a party. But some of you have never thought about, okay, What have I actually been told about myself, about who I am in this world, about what a woman is, about how I operate, about my role, about how people, do you know what I'm saying? And is that true? Is that useful? Okay, is everyone with me here? Okay. Okay, so now I'm going to look at what are you saying? What are you saying? Because here's how it works. It's like people treat us a certain way, and we hate it sometimes. I'm talking now about a negative thing. And they keep on pressuring it in us. And then they go away. Our parents go away. We grow up, and we go live somewhere else. Or our friends move to other cities. And then we start treating ourselves like they treated us. So if we were abused, we become our abuser. If we were neglected, we become our neglector. Does that make sense? That's how it works psychologically. Okay, so where am I? Okay, so here's the thing. Most people are hearing Satan's lies and they have faith in his lies. Okay, they tell themselves, I have learning difficulties. No, I can't do school as well as everyone else, so I'm less worthy. Well, you know what? I'm so old now. You know, nobody even notices me when I talk. You know, I've got wrinkles. Nobody listens to people with wrinkles, you know? Okay, or I'm fat and not pretty, so I'm not as valuable as the thin people. Okay, or I wasn't wanted as a child, so I'm probably not wanted now. You know, I'm so full of sin, I'm a lost cause. I mean, just write me off, sweetie. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So God has forgotten me. He doesn't care that my husband's just left. He doesn't care that I got raped. He doesn't care that I'm in debt. He doesn't care that I'm failing at school. He doesn't care I'm not popular at school. He doesn't care I'm old and all on my own now in this retirement village or whatever it is, okay? You know, and that's the kind of way we are talking, isn't it? Can you relate to some of those things? Some of us just say, oh, I'm stupid. I'm so stupid. I mean, you know, really, I am so stupid. And this is one of the things I often say to a lot of my clients. If you spoke to your best friend like you spoke to yourself, man, you would be lonely. I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, as I was saying, now, Joyce and I are best friends. I go to Joyce, and Joyce says, oh, Jody, I'm just feeling so fat today. And you're like, yeah. And look at you, stuff it. I mean, you are a pig. You know what? You're a pig. But you're going to stuff your face. Look at you. Could you get a grip, please? I mean, would you ever say that? I mean, I remember saying that to one of my closest friends, Elise Kroisch, and I said to her, I am so fat. I really felt fat. She said, no, you're just chubby. But that's a best friend. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm just chubby. Like, it's really cute. Do you know what I mean? You know, some of the ways that we talk to ourselves, you know, you make great eggs and you're like, well, don't get happy about great eggs. I mean, what's the big deal about making great eggs? I mean, who cares if you made great eggs? I mean, they're just great eggs. Nobody's going to care. It's not exactly like a major achievement. Imagine if you said that to your friend. Do you know, you would never. You would never. So this is kind of like the way that we start talking and start treating ourselves, okay? You know what? You know, she's so qualified and I am, you know, I don't have a trick. You know, I can't be her friend. I'm probably too dumb for her. You know what? She's so pretty. She's so pretty. I'm too ugly to be friends with her. You know, we talk like that. Would you ever say that to your best friend? You know what? You're too ugly to be friends with her, okay? I mean, we wouldn't do it. But we feel like it's just fine to say that to ourselves, right? Okay. So, here's what. People who have... I think this is so important. Brené Brown does a lot of work on vulnerability. Have any of you seen her video? Who's seen it? You have to, yeah, you have to see that video on the power of vulnerability. It is so powerful. And she speaks about that people who have the strongest connection to God and to others, they have a sense of worthiness and a strong sense of belonging and love. And that is the only difference, she reckons, between happy, joyful people and hurting people. So there are two ways to get that conviction. Okay. One, get born again to perfect parents in a perfect world. Or decide to believe the truth. Decide. You know what? I count. I am valuable. Because you know what happens? If I'm not valuable, I go like this. Okay, there's Lee. Okay, now I won't say hello to her because she probably doesn't have time for me. Okay, now, you know, I won't try that because you know what? I probably can't do that. If I'm coming, I'm like, hey, Lee, how are you? How's it? You know what I'm saying? Like, I the way we think about ourselves affects how we behave, and it usually affects us in ways that are sin or not. Does that make sense? And so for me, I did not have a very strong sense of worthiness, because remember, I'm just nice. Okay. Theoretically, okay. Don't push me on that one. Okay, but then, so what, I mean, I did it with affirmations. People can do it. I used to stand in the mirror and say, I am valuable. I am deeply valued and valuable. I am deeply loved and loved deeply. God's blessings are chasing me down and overtaking me. I'm excited for my present and my future. Now, remember, I'm cuckoos. I'm allowed to do that, okay? And it works. I just decided I've had enough of being a worm. I've had enough of walking around sinning and being all weird and bleeding all over everybody. I have had enough. It's time to actually decide to trust the truth, decide to trust that God loves me, to decide to trust that He's forgiven me, decide to trust that I'm saved and I belong here. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's what we need to do. We need to decide that. So at the end of the day, I don't want to go over time because I think doing the exercise is more important than talking. Okay, so that is the thing. That is what I want to challenge you, is we just have to decide. You know what? I am beautiful, and I am worthy, and that's it. Okay? End of discussion. We don't need other people telling us. What do they know? You know? Who are they to get to tell me who I am? God tells me who I am, and I tell me who I am. Okay? And that's what we go with. And that means work. You know what? If I go to the gym and I want to have this hot body, it's sweat. I mean, I've done it once before. I couldn't walk for 2 days. I'm like, and now I'm supposed to go back. That was once. Okay. You know. But this is the same thing with our mind. You see, it says be transformed by the renewing. Transformation is a slow process. And we have to keep on renewing our mind. We've got to say the right things. Check out where we're going wrong. Check up in the Bible. Keep on practicing. You know, the one day I spoke to this one sister. I just love her. And I was like, you've got to believe in yourself. You've got to have a vision. You've got to be positive. And I went to her house and I'm like, my life is so... And then she looks at me and she says, you know what, Jody, you need to be positive, you need to get love. So what I realize is we need constant reminders. I mean, I teach this stuff, I think this stuff, I write about this stuff. We have got to constantly be studying out the scriptures, looking for material. You know that finally, brothers or sisters, whatever's true, noble, lovely, honorable, of good report, if anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think about it. We've got to practice it, just like a gym. Sometimes you're like, oh, you know what, I really don't want to do this. You've got to practice it. Always. It's the same with gym. You stop going to gym, you get a flabby body again. You stop practicing your mind, you get a flabby mind again. Okay. So, here's one of the things that is really important. We have to fully embrace vulnerability. So by that, I don't mean go around bleeding on every second person about every traumatic thing you've been through, because then you're just really rehashing the lies of Satan. And there are some therapists that are more than happy to take your money for 10 years while you rehash the lies of Satan. And when you're finished, you'll need a therapist to recover from your therapy. Okay? That's not what you're meant to be going for. You're meant to go and see, here are my lies, now how do I shift them? Does that make sense? So if you're not going to a therapist like that, leave. But you do need to initially talk it out, because that's what helps you figure out what the lies are. Does that make sense? So if, by vulnerability, I mean be willing to say, I wish we were better friends. Even if you're not sure the person likes you. Be willing to say, I need you because I'm in trouble. Be willing to say, I love you. Be willing to put yourself out there. You know, be willing to say, this is what I think my talent is. Could I utilize it? That's what it means by being vulnerable. So vulnerability is the core of shame, fear, and the struggle of worthiness. I mean, straight away when I say that, you're like, oh, no, I don't think so. I'll just stand myself in the world over here. Thank you very much. You know what I'm saying? But it is also, and get this, the birthplace of joy, creativity, belonging, and love. We have to be willing to be seen. If you start numbing things, you know, you want to numb your pain, you want to numb your disappointment, you want to numb the fact that in your previous marriage you strayed, you know, and you don't want to numb how terrible you feel about yourself, or you want to numb the fact, you know, the pain of having had an abortion, or what you think is the shame of being molested, I don't think you have anything to be ashamed of, or what you think is the shame of having an alcoholic parent. If you numb that, if you numb yourself, I'm not going to need people too much, I'm not going to care too much, I'm not going to let people too close, you are also numbing your joy, your love, your excitement. You numb everything. You can't selectively numb. And we numb by taking medication, by flirting or being sexual, by, you know, by getting drunk, by a million, by being perfect. You know how righteous I am, sweetie? Yeah, come over here, I'll help you. Yeah. Sadly, I don't have that, too much of that. You'll just have to deal with imperfection when you come with me. Okay, and what we want is we want certainty, we want perfection, and we want to pretend. And that is really going to cut, it's going to cut out our terror, it's going to cut out our fear, it's going to cut out our shame, it's going to cut out our, disappointment, it's going to cut out our life. We have to be real, we have to say, this is me, this is what I feel, this is what I want. So this is the thing, is to decide and believe you're enough. So, I would like you, in a second, I'm going to explain what to do, and then now we're going to go on to the exercise. Okay, so the first exercise is I would like you to get out your phone. If anyone doesn't have a phone, I have a couple of mirrors here. But I want you to put your phone on selfie. So you're not taking a selfie. I want you to be able to see yourself. Look at yourself. You're not taking one. I want you to look at yourself. Okay, so can I just give you the instruction, then you can talk and laugh hysterically at your nose or whatever it is you're doing. Okay. So, I think as women, mostly what we do is look in the mirror and say, and sort of say something like, oh, look at these wrinkles, or why did I get this fat nose, or whatever. Okay, that's point one. Then I also think we don't ever say to ourselves, you know what, I love you, and I appreciate you. I'm so grateful for the victories God's given you. And here's some of them. Do you know what I'm saying? We don't, do we? So here's what I want you to do. I want to look, you have to say it out loud, but not, you know, you can shout it if you want to. I mean, I don't mind. Okay, I want you to say, I love your hair or your skin. You are so beautiful. And I want you to say, I am sorry I've mistreated you. I'm sorry I've been so rude to you. And then I want to say, I appreciate X, Y, and Z about you. And I'm so grateful for the victories God has given you. On your marks. Get set. Go. Okay. So now I just have to tell you, you guys look nuts. Okay. Just letting you know. No, but really, I actually think that it's really important, this principle of start thinking about how you talk to yourself in your head and how you talk about yourself. Because that is definitely going to make you depressed if you are not speaking well to yourself and if you are continuing some kind of abuse or neglect. Okay. Quickly, have we got time to do this one? Quickly, if we get together in groups, you can get together groups 4 or 5. I'm not going to beat you up if there's 6 or 3, but just roughly. Okay? And you can, the oldest person in the group of 6 can choose to read either Psalm 71 or Psalm 73 or Psalm 77. Then the best reader or whoever wants to can just read it out loud. And I want you to answer those questions. What is the psalmist struggling with? What is he tempted to think? What does he decide to think? And what does he say about himself and the situation? So I'm going to give you, I don't know, about 10 minutes. Is it? 10 minutes, and we're going to come back. So please don't talk about Auntie Mabel's tea party. Or just get together and make it happen. Okay. Okay, so now I'm going to go through some of these questions. Remember, you all did a different psalm, so hopefully we'll get different struggles and things. So what was the psalmist struggling with in your psalm? Okay. Kerry. Okay, so Kerry says his emotions. He was distressed. He couldn't sleep properly. He was refusing to be comforted. Have any of you ever felt like that? Great. And others of you? Yes, Danny. So she said he kept begging God, please don't leave me when I'm old. He had this fear that God was going to abandon him. Yes. So he was struggling with the fact that the wicked seemed to be prosperous. You ever felt that? Oh, look at them. They're not disciples, and it just goes smooth, sweet pea. All right? Anybody else? Okay, yes. Great. He was, well, not so great, but you know what I mean. He was struggling with shame and self-worthlessness and self-pity. Okay, do any of us relate to any of these things? Okay. And then what is he tempted to think in those situations? What is he thinking when he starts thinking in the kingdom of lies? Yes. Great. Did everyone hear that? God doesn't care. He doesn't love me. He just remembers my sins. Okay? Yes. He's got enemies. He's got people out to get him. What else? Yes. He's tempted to think it's not worth being a Christian. He's tempted to think that God, I mean, I bet you none of you have ever thought that, right? I mean, right? Okay, anything else? Yes. He felt like he needs to be punished. You know, a lot of us do that. We sabotage ourselves by eating foods that are bad for us. We sabotage ourselves by not trying to be our best or not trying to do things. A lot of us think we need to be punished. Even procrastination is a form of self-punishment. Okay, anything else? Yes. God's promises failed. See, God lied. Did you know that? Yeah, God's promises failed and he was angry. See, that's what we do. We turn the truth into lies and the lies into truth. Okay, so he's tempted to think like us, isn't he? And that's what we do. But then what does he decide to think? Yes. He decides to think about the truth. And what specific things? Is anyone from their song? Yes. God is his refuge and his rock. Yes, Quinette. I decide to have hope. Yes, Kerry. Yeah, his works, his deeds, the power he has. Yes. He's going to think about his God's righteous acts all day long. Yes. So he decided to think about the eternal life, about, you know, how he's going to live forever if he chooses how he lives. Yes. He's going to actually talk about the deeds. He's going to go around talking about them. Tsakani, you're going to say something. Yeah, he believes God's the restorer. He's going to restore his life again. And this is the incredible, incredible thing about overcoming any kind of emotional or mental problem, especially biblically, is that, you know, it's so easy for us to get stuck in that kingdom of lies. But can you see clearly? I mean, this is how he decided to think. And this is, you know, there's a thing in psychology called narrative therapy. And what narrative therapy says is what you believe, you find all the evidence for. I don't know if you've ever done it. You suddenly, your childhood speaks about a red Ferrari, and suddenly you see 60 red Ferraris. You know, you never saw a red Ferrari in your life before, now there's 60 on the road, you know? And that happens to us. We decide God does not love me, and then we'll find all the evidence. Boom, boom. Then we decide God loves me, and then we'll find all the evidence. It's wild. And so when people come to therapy and they say, my dad's always hated me, you say, well, was there ever just one time he was nice? And then they go, no. Just think about, well, the one time he bought me a chocolate. Oh, yeah, and the other time he, and then you start building, because they just wrote it out. Do you know that? And so this is what we're doing. We're doing a narrative therapy. You know, we can either build up evidence for the kingdom of lies and have faith in Satan and what he says, or we can build up evidence for the truth. So here's what I want to say, just to wrap up for tonight, is I really want to encourage you to start praying like this. Be vulnerable with God. Say, this is what I want. This is what I dream. This is what I'm going through. I tell him, God, I feel so ashamed of myself. I feel so fed up. But then I say, but you know what? You love me, you adore me, and you forgave me, and now you can help me change as well. You know, or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and I think what's really important, Sakani is my prayer partner. This is my friend Sakani. We work together, and we pray together, and she blows my mind. Her prayers are so full of praise and faith and thanksgiving, because I think she's got a really strong sense of just how incredible God is. And I think, you know, that's, we can start off and we can share our hearts. I know my son, he's so cute. He comes to me and he says, I say, what's wrong? You're really not behaving well. He says, well, I'm having quite a lot of self-pity, and I think it's better to overcome evil with evil than with good, because that doesn't work. And he just, and you know what? My heart just melts. I don't think, what a disgusting little child. I mean, look at his heart. I think, oh, he's so real. He trusts me so much. Now I can come and help him. I can come and help him because he's getting it wrong, you know? But it's so endearing. He trusts me that I'm not going to judge him. I'm not going to beat him up. I want to know who he is, and I want to help him. And that's where God is with us. So I just think that I hope this has encouraged you, and I hope this helps you on your journey. And I hope that you'll join us with the modules. But I think I just want to encourage you, start praying. You know, I mean, I remember I used to lie in the kitchen floor. Carrie knew me then. I think she was discipling me. It was like when I first became, I used to go, God, please help me to want to be a disciple. I'm begging you, please. I'm asking you. You know, I mean, but sometimes you just need to say who you are, and then God will help you from there. And then you need to remember who he is, and don't ever forget it. He's the truth. So if I can just ask us to pray, then we can finish. Okay. So Father God, thank you so much, God, for all these amazing sisters. I'm just looking at everyone's face, and I know there's so many people that I'm so fond of and that I love so much. And I'm so grateful that they're here and that they're following you and that they've been in my life, God. Father, I just pray that you will help us just to have a real sense, God, of that we are the lights of the world, and that you adore us, and that you are walking this journey with us, and you forgive us, and you want us to experience joy and life, God. And I just pray that you will help us to just be open with you and real with you, to get support and help where we need it, to just turn our whole mindset away and be transformed into the truth. Father, I pray that you will be with us as we drive home, that you'll protect us and take care of us. Thank you so much, God, for just your love, and what a beautiful, powerful, awesome God you are, and that we can know these truths and be set free and be released, God, and that even if it takes us some time, we're not going to stop, God. And thank you so much. We really love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So you can fellowship.